Welcome to True Crime Briefs. In this podcast, I read a curated selection of press releases from the U.S. Department of Justice that highlight cases prosecuted by U.S. Attorneys General. Executive pastor pleads guilty to stealing $130,000 from Journey Baptist Church in Barrington, Wednesday, April 12, 2023, Concord. An executive pastor pleaded guilty in federal court to using Journey Baptist Church's debit and credit cards without authorization, U.S. Attorney Jane E. Young announces. Gregory Neal of Rochester, age 45, pleaded guilty to one count information alleging wire fraud. U.S. District Court Judge Samantha Elliott scheduled sentencing for July 19, 2023. The defendant's employment entailed overseeing the church's daily operations, including control over its finances. From January 2017 to March 2020, the defendant made unauthorized withdrawals of the church's funds to pay off his own gambling debts and made unauthorized purchases with the church's credit cards for his own personal benefit. Those unauthorized transactions amounted to roughly $130,000. The charging statute provides a sentence of no greater than 20 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, a maximum fine that is the greater of $250,000 or twice the gross gain or loss, and restitution. Former Benton County coach and youth pastor sentenced to 45 years for exploiting children. Monday, March 6, 2023, Memphis, Tennessee. Joshua Henley, 34, formerly of Benton County, has been sentenced to 45 years in federal prison for producing sexually explicit images of a minor, transporting and possessing child exploitation material, and transporting a minor interstate with the intent to engage in sexual activity. United States Attorney Kevin G. Ritz announced this sentence today. According to the information presented in court, from 2017 until April 2021, Henley was the pastor at Holiday Church of Christ and coached the girls' basketball team at Holiday Elementary. In April 2021, Henley left Benton County to become the youth pastor at a church in Indiana. In June 2021, Henley returned to Benton County and transported a teen to Indiana under the guise that she was to assist at his new parish. Instead, Henley sexually assaulted the teen. Henley was arrested as he was driving her back to Tennessee. At the time of Henley's arrest, he had a cell phone which contained sexually explicit images and videos of two other Tennessee teenagers with which he had contact through Snapchat and FaceTime. The teens each disclosed that Henley also engaged in sexual activity with them. Henley has worked with young people in other states, including Oklahoma and Texas. United States District Judge S. Thomas Anderson sentenced Henley to 540 months in federal prison to be followed by 10 years of supervised release. There is no parole in the federal system. Denison youth pastor sentenced for child exploitation violations. Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, Sherman, Texas. A former youth pastor has been sentenced to federal prison for child pornography violations in the Eastern District of Texas, announced U.S. Attorney Britt Featherston today. Chad Michael Ryder, 49, of Anna, Texas, was found guilty by a jury on July 22, 2022, of three counts of sexual exploitation of children, also referred to as the production of child pornography. Today, Ryder was sentenced to a total combined sentence of 720 months in federal prison by U.S. District Judge Amos L. Mazant. According to court documents and testimony at trial, in August 2022, Homeland Security investigation agents were investigating David Pettigrew of Denison for child pornography offenses. Agents seized a computer hard drive from Pettigrew's office at the Denison Church of the Nazarene. Forensic review of the device revealed videos of Pettigrew and Ryder setting up to film children while bathing at the church. Additional videos were located in which Ryder filmed two other children in residential settings. Justice has been served on Chad Michael Ryder for his role in the production of child pornography, said U.S. Attorney Britt Featherston. He used his trusted roles as a church leader, caregiver to at-risk teens, and as a trusted member of his community to plant secret recording devices in bathrooms and other places where children would be disrobed. This shocking breach of trust was committed by an individual who had falsely sown a firm belief of good character of himself in so many parents in his community. This case stands as a stark reminder of our common duty as citizens to watch out for the most vulnerable among us. I appreciate the members of law enforcement, community members, and especially the victims who had the courage to stand up and stop Ryder before he could victimize others. This defendant and his cohort routinely preyed on the innocence of several children that looked to him for guidance as members of his church. He had no concern for the life-altering harm his devious acts would cause those he victimized, said Lester R. Hayes Jr., Special Agent in Charge, HSI Dallas. Unfortunately, no amount of prison time can restore their innocence, but rest assured, this community is safer with this sexual deviant behind bars. This case was brought as part of Project Safe Childhood, a nationwide initiative to combat the growing epidemic of child sexual exploitation and abuse, launched in May 2006 by the Department of Justice. Led by United States Attorney's Offices and the Criminal Division's Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, CEOS, Project Safe Childhood marshals federal, state, and local resources to better locate, apprehend, and prosecute individuals who exploit children via the internet, as well as to identify and rescue victims. For more information about Project Safe Childhood, please visit projectsafechildhood.gov. This case was investigated by Homeland Security Investigations with assistance from Anna Police Department and prosecuted by U.S. attorneys Marissa J. Miller and Jay Combs. Former Arkansas State Senator and Representative sentenced for role in multi-million dollar bribery conspiracy, Wednesday, January 18, 2023. Little Rock. Former Arkansas State Senator and State Representative Henry Hank Wilkins IV was sentenced today to 12 months and one day in prison for conspiring to accept over $95,000 in bribes in exchange for influencing Arkansas state legislation and transactions, including steering approximately $245,000 in Arkansas general improvement funds to his co-conspirators, which included executives at a Missouri-based healthcare charity. As part of the conspiracy, Wilkins also admitted to devising a scheme to conceal the bribe payments as donations to St. James United Methodist Church in Pine Bluff, where Wilkins also served as a pastor. United States District Court Judge Brian S. Miller sentenced Wilkins today. In addition to the federal prison sentence, Judge Miller ordered Wilkins to serve 3 years of supervised release and repay $123,000 in restitution. Wilkins must report to prison by March 7, 2023. Wilkins, 68, previously pleaded guilty on April 30, 2018, to a federal information charging him with conspiracy to commit bribery concerning programs receiving federal funds, and conspiracy to devise a scheme and artifice to defraud and deprive the citizens of Arkansas of their right to honest services. According to court documents, Wilkins admitted as part of his plea that from 2010 to 2014, while serving in the Arkansas General Assembly, he accepted a series of bribes from lobbyists and nonprofit organizations that were transmitted both in the form of cash and checks funneled from lobbying firms to a discretionary fund held in St. James's name, where Wilkins had access to the deposited funds. In exchange for the cash and check bribes, Wilkins performed and agreed to perform official acts in his capacity as an Arkansas legislator, including filing shell bills, sponsoring full bills, voting in favor of specific legislation, and steering approximately $245,000 in general improvement funds to entities that funneled bribes to Wilkins through his church. Several of Wilkins's co-conspirators, including former Arkansas State Senator Jeremy Hutchinson and two executives at the Missouri-based healthcare charity, pleaded guilty and are awaiting sentencing. Scott County man sentenced for wire fraud, Tuesday, January 10, 2023, Lexington, Kentucky. A Georgetown, Kentucky man, Ralph Tackett, 66, was sentenced to 33 months in federal prison on Monday by Chief U.S. District Judge Danny C. Reeves for wire fraud. According to the agreed facts presented, Tackett was the treasurer of a church in Georgetown who embezzled a total of $512,042, in part through the commission of wire fraud. Tackett admitted, among other facts, that from December 2015 until July 2019, he stole money directly from the church by transferring funds to pay on his personal credit cards, by issuing checks which he deposited into his own personal and business accounts for his own benefit, and by unlawfully transferring money in other ways to meet the demands of a third party. Throughout this time, Tackett concealed the true nature of the church's expenditures from the church pastor and board members by exploiting his position of trust and the access he wielded as the organization's treasurer. The church endured substantial financial hardship as a result of Tackett's theft. As part of his sentence, Tackett was ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $532,807.46 to the church. The amount includes the amount of money he embezzled directly, as well as the additional costs the church was found to have incurred as a direct result of Tackett's crime. Under federal law, Tackett must serve 85% of his prison sentence, and upon his release from prison, he will be under supervision of the U.S. Probation Office for 3 years. The investigation was conducted by the FBI. The United States was represented by Assistant United States Attorney Tashina A. Fannin. Former South Carolina priest indicted for the sexual abuse of a minor, Tuesday, January 10, 2023, Columbia, South Carolina. A federal grand jury in Columbia returned a 3-count indictment against Jaime Adolfo Gonzalez Farias, aka Father Gonzalez, aka E. 67, a former South Carolina priest, for the alleged sexual abuse of an 11-year-old minor. The indictment charges 3 counts: coercion and enticement of a minor, transportation of a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity, and aggravated sexual abuse of a child. The grand jury also identified Florida state statutes of lewd or lascivious molestation and lewd or lascivious exhibition as implicated by Gonzalez Farias's conduct. The indictment alleges that Gonzalez Farias has been ordained as a priest since at least 1990, and that he has held various positions in the churches in which he served, including pastor, parochial vicar, administrator, chaplain, and priest. The indictment further alleges that Gonzalez Farias began serving in South Carolina in 2015, and that he sexually abused a minor to whom he had access by virtue of his service as a priest. As indicated on the public docket, Gonzalez Farias was arrested in Miami, Florida on November 28, 2022, and placed in the custody of the United States Marshals. On January 9, 2023, he made his initial appearance in federal court in Columbia, South Carolina. At that hearing, the government requested the defendant remain detained, and Gonzalez Farias elected to not request a bond at this time. United States Magistrate Judge Shiva V. Hodges ordered that Gonzalez Farias remain detained pending trial. Gonzalez Farias faces a mandatory sentence of at least 30 years in federal prison and a maximum of life on the aggravated sexual assault with a child count. He faces a mandatory sentence of at least 10 years and a maximum of life on the remaining counts. He also faces fines of up to $250,000, a $5,000 special assessment, mandatory restitution payable to any victims, court-ordered supervision for life to follow any term of imprisonment, and requirements to register as a sex offender. The exploitation of children, particularly by those in positions of trust, will not be tolerated in our state, said U.S. Attorney Adair F. Burrows. Our commitment to victims and survivors is that when they are met with abuse, offenders will be met with a full measure of accountability. The defendant's alleged actions are deeply troubling, said FBI Columbia Special Agent in Charge Susan Forensic. The FBI will not stand for crimes committed against children, and we are poised to use the full weight of our agency to protect minors and hold offenders accountable. The FBI is seeking the public's help in identifying potential victims. If you believe you or your minor dependent or dependents were victimized by Gonzalez Farias, or if you have relevant information about Gonzalez Farias, the FBI should know. You are encouraged to contact the FBI at 803-551-4200. The case was investigated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Lawrence County Sheriff's Department. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Elliot B. Daniels and E. Elizabeth Major are prosecuting the case. U.S. Attorney Adair F. Burrows stated that all charges in the indictment are merely accusations and that defendants are presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. Maryland man sentenced to more than 6 years in federal prison for his role in a $28 million Ponzi scheme involving, quote, first $1 million, end quote, wealth management company. Friday, January 6, 2023. To recruit investors, the defendant falsely promised investor victims that investing with First Million would help them achieve personal wealth and financial freedom. Greenbelt, Maryland. U.S. District Judge Theodore D. Chuang sentenced Arlie Ray Johnson, age 63, of Bowie, Maryland, yesterday to 78 months in federal prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release for conspiracy, wire fraud, and securities fraud charges in connection with a $28 million Ponzi scheme involving First Million, a purported wealth management and financial literacy company. Johnson was convicted on September 29, 2022, after a 10-day trial. The sentence was announced by U.S. Attorney for the District of Maryland, Eric L. Barron, Special Agent in Charge Thomas J. Sobosinski of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Baltimore Field Office, Special Agent in Charge Matthew R. Stoller of the United States Secret Service, Washington Field Office, and Postal Inspector in Charge Damon E. Wood of the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, Washington. According to evidence presented at his trial, Johnson conspired with his co-defendants, including Dennis Mbongeni Jali and John Erasmus Frimpong, to defraud investors through several related entities, including the Smart Partners LLC, which did business as, quote, First Million Dollars, end quote, or, quote, First Million, end quote. Johnson served as the chief operating officer for First Million, which was headquartered in Largo, Maryland. According to trial evidence, First Million presented itself as a wealth management and financial literacy company, with its core business offering being a 12-month guaranteed investment contract. These investment contracts, entitled, quote, corporate guarantees, end quote, represented that the client's principal would be invested in foreign currency or cryptocurrency and guaranteed individuals who invested money with First Million monthly returns ranging from 6% to 35% of the initial investment. At the end of the investment period, the contract promised that the investor would receive the return of all of the principal invested. In reality, the evidence at trial showed First Million did not invest victims' funds as promised and instead misappropriated the funds for themselves and used the funds to keep the scheme afloat, including using funds from new investors to repay existing investors. In addition to misrepresenting that victim funds would be used to invest, Johnson and his co-defendants also falsely stated that investors' principal would be held in a trust account protected from any financial instability of First Million or market volatility. In fact, victim funds were not placed in a trust account or otherwise guaranteed. In addition, Johnson and his co-defendants falsely claimed that First Million was financially healthy and earning astronomical profits. But First Million's accounts, some of which were controlled by Johnson, were frequently overdrawn, and First Million had substantial cash flow problems, all of which Johnson and his co-conspirators concealed from investors. As detailed in the trial evidence, Johnson and his co-defendants recruited victims to invest in First Million by holding promotional events at upscale hotels and event spaces, attending church-sponsored events intended to target investments from churchgoers, and representing themselves as religious men more interested in the financial freedom of others than personal financial gain. Johnson and his co-defendants presented themselves as, quote, pastors, end quote, and told prospective investors that First Million's work was in furtherance of God's mission as it helped churches and their members achieve personal wealth and financial freedom. Johnson and his co-defendants also hired agents of First Million to organize recruiting events to attract more investors in exchange for a higher return on the agents' investments. By spring 2019, First Million's accounts were often overdrawn by hundreds of thousands of dollars, and some of the checks First Million sent to pay investors' monthly returns were returned by the bank due to insufficient funds. Nevertheless, Johnson and Frimpong continued to solicit funds from existing investors as well as new investors and failed to tell any of these potential investors of First Million's financial problems. Ultimately, the scheme collapsed in May 2019 and hundreds of First Million investors collectively lost millions of dollars. Over the course of the conspiracy, Johnson and his co-defendants persuaded or attempted to persuade more than 1,200 victims from across the United States to provide them with wire transfers, checks, and cash totaling more than $28 million from numerous victims. The evidence proved that although the victims were promised tremendous returns on their investments, Johnson and his co-conspirators did not invest any of the money. instead using it to fund their own lifestyles and to perpetuate the fraud scheme. John Erasmus Frimpong, age 42, of Upper Marlboro, Maryland, previously pleaded guilty to a wire fraud conspiracy, conspiracy to commit securities fraud, and to securities fraud. Judge Chuang has scheduled sentencing for Frimpong on February 10, 2023 at 9 a.m. Jali fled the United States in May 2019, but has since been arrested in South Africa. Separate civil actions filed against Johnson and his co-defendants by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission remain pending. United States Attorney Eric L. Barron commended the FBI, the United States Secret Service, and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service for their work in the investigation. Mr. Barron thanked Assistant U.S. Attorneys Caitlin R. Cottingham and Jennifer L. Wine, who are prosecuting the case. Lame deer pastor arraigned on sexual abuse charges. Tuesday, December 20th, 2022. Billings. A lame deer pastor appeared on a summons for arraignment today on sexual abuse charges alleged to have occurred on the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation, U.S. Attorney Jesse Laslovich said. Dean Allen Smith, 66, a pastor, pleaded not guilty to an indictment charging him with one count of aggravated sexual abuse, one count of abusive sexual contact, and three counts of abusive sexual contact by force and of a child. If convicted of the most serious crime, Smith faces a maximum of life in prison, a $250,000 fine, and not less than 5 years of supervised release. U.S. Magistrate Judge Timothy J. Cavan presided. Judge Cavan continued Smith's release with conditions pending further proceedings. An indictment filed on December 9th alleges that between 2017 and 2019, near Lame Deer on the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation, Smith knowingly caused a person identified as Jane Doe 1 to engage in a sexual act by using force, and that Smith knowingly caused Jane Doe 1 to engage in sexual contact by using force. The indictment further alleges that between 2017 and 2019, Smith knowingly caused a person identified as Jane Doe 2, who had not attained the age of 12, to engage in sexual contact by force. In addition, the indictment alleges that between 2019 and 2020, Smith knowingly caused persons identified as Jane Doe 3 and Jane Doe 4, both who had not attained the age of 12, to engage in sexual contact by force. The United States Attorney's Office is prosecuting the case, which was investigated by the FBI. An indictment is merely an accusation, and the defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. If people have additional information or know of persons who may have encountered similar conduct alleged against the defendant, please contact the FBI Billings office at 406-248-8487. Thank you for listening to this episode of True Crime Briefs. You can subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast listening app. All of the information I share is available in the public record. And remember, justice is served one case at a time.